الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، إن شاء الله this morning take some benefits from reviewing previous knowledge that we have covered in classes that have passed. Was come from Al-Mizzi rahimahullah ta'ala, died in the year 742. He said, rahimahullah, man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu saluha dunyahu wa akhiratu, fa adam al-ilmi wa dhakarata fa hayatu al-ilmi wa dhakarata. Man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu, whoever obtains knowledge and reviews it, صَرَحَ الدُّنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَاتُ, then his worldly life will be good and likewise thereafter. Whoever obtains knowledge and reviews it and goes over it from time to time, then his worldly life and hereafter will be good for him. فَأَدِمْ لِلْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةً فَحَيَاتُ الْعِلْمِ مُذَاكَرَةً. So therefore, you must always review the knowledge constantly, because the life of knowledge is through revision. It's through revision. So in previous classes, we have discussed a number of times about al-ilm. What is al-ilm? What is knowledge? We had brief definitions from Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, about that. Who remembers? Since this is one definition. Al-ilm qala Allahu qala Rasuluhu qala sahabatuhum ulu al-irfani. That knowledge is what Allah has mentioned, meaning in his revelation, his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned, meaning in the authentic sunnah, and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise that which the companions, radiyallahu anhum, have mentioned, because they're the people of sound understanding, meaning those who properly understand the intended meaning from the words of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the correct and sound understanding and application. So they're the people of sound understanding, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Now, this is one issue. There's another one that's more precise to a definition. The definition of knowledge. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah, al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bi-dalilihi. Al-ilmu ma'rifatu al-huda bi-dalilihi. Madaka wa taqlilu yastawiyani. ما العلم نسبك خلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين رأي فلان العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. This is the portion we want to memorize, and at bare minimum, العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. معرفة الهدى بدليله. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله. Knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. To know the guidance with its evidence. To know the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to creed. The head of that, to know la ilaha illallah, and the proper meaning and understanding of that with its evidence, and to know the conditions and requirements with regards to that and its evidence, and the great rights of that with its evidence. So the evidence that you must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah is the statement of Allah. Fa'alam. أنه لا إله إلا الله. فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله. You must know, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا إله إلا الله, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this is an indication of the obligation of knowing that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this is the head of knowledge. And this verse is revealed in Al-Madinah, in Surah Muhammad. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had already called to la ilaha illallah for more than 13 years before the revelation of this verse. And then still Allah is emphasizing, Ya Muhammad, fa'lam annahu la ilaha illallah. You must know, you must have certainty, you must understand, you must realize, you must believe, you must establish the fact that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. So this is a lifelong effort to learn and to know and to study and to establish and to apply and uphold the rights of La ilaha illallah. So this is the head of knowledge. This is the head of knowledge. Al-ilmu ma'rifatul huda bidalilihi. So knowledge is to know the guidance with its evidence. To know the guidance with its evidence. To know The legislative ruling, whether it's an obligation or recommended, or whether it's forbidden, prohibition and dislike, whether if it's something permissible in the likes like this. Before a person gets involved, he'll learn about that. And true knowledge is to know the guidance that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with evidence from the book and from the sunnah. The evidence is from the book and from the sunnah. And this is understood in the light of the previous statement that we discussed, that knowledge is that which Allah said and that which His Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that which the companions they've said. And that's because they're the people of sound understanding, I mean the companions, those who understand properly the words of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, to know the guidance that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with evidence, this is knowledge. With evidence, meaning with evidence from the book and from the sunnah. With evidence from the book and from the sunnah, and likewise from the interpretation and understanding of the salaf of this ummah. And but the evidence is in the words of Allah and the words of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا ذَاكَ وَالتَّقْلِيلُ يَسْتَوِيَانِ This and blind following is not equal. They're not equal. The one who knows the guidance, he knows the ruling, he knows the legislation, he knows the obligation, he knows the prohibition, he knows the creed, he knows the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows the rights of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows the rights of his mother and father, he knows the rights of his spouse, he knows the rights of his neighbor, he knows the rights of his relatives, of his neighbors, of his co-workers, so on and so forth, with evidence and proof. With evidence and proof, he knows the obligation of the salah and the requirements of salah, with evidence and with proof. With evidence and with proof, he knows the condition of tahara from the hadith, it's major and minor. He's aware of these affairs, and he has knowledge, and he has light, and he has evidence. And therefore, whenever he makes wudu, and whenever he makes ghusl, he does that upon insight. He does that upon insight. He realizes the proper manner to perform the ablution or the ghusl outwardly, and likewise, he realizes that this is from the rights of Allah that are pleasing to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he would do that with the heart that's alive, seeking the pleasure of Allah. Because he knows, and Allah yuhibbu tawabina wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. So therefore, he makes wudu according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the light and guidance that he has obtained from seeking knowledge sincerely for the sake of Allah. So now, every time he makes wudu or he makes ghusl in this manner like this, he is drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's not just performing everyday customary actions. Like some people, they do because of heedlessness or forgetfulness or a lack of reviewing knowledge and going over these affairs. They'll perform actions that were legislated and prescribed to draw one near to their Lord heedlessly or forgetfully, or like their customs and cultures, like he's eating a hamburger or something like this. Like he's eating a hamburger and french fries, or like he's going down the road switching lanes. This is not the same. The adat are not the same as the ibadat. The adat, they're from the worldly affairs and customs. A person, he doesn't. That are lawful, alhamdulillah. But as for the ibadah, a person, he has to be drawing near to Allah. His heart has to be alive. He has to be hoping for the reward of Allah, and the promise of Allah, and the mercy of Allah, and the protection of Allah, and the help of Allah, and the favor of Allah. In this manner, whenever he's performing them, not just going around doing them because everybody else is doing them, or because this is what they told him whenever he was little, and this is how he grew up, and the likes like this, that he's doing it because he believes in Allah upon sincere faith, upon sincere faith. So knowledge, and people who have knowledge and worship Allah in this manner, they're not the same as those who blind follow. They're not the same as those who blind follow. They just do what they do, blind following the people, blind following their forefathers, or blind following their madhab, or blind following the imam, or blind following this one or that one. Rather, they have knowledge, and they believe in what they believe based upon evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, and therefore their faith becomes strong. Their faith becomes strong because they have evidence, they have proof. They believe that Allah, He is above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty, and they have evidence and they have proof from the book and from the Sunnah, and likewise from the creation, the natural disposition, and the sound mind of the human being. So these are guided by the Quran and the Sunnah, so therefore the evidences become stronger and stronger, and the certainty becomes deeper and deeper in his heart, until he has no doubt that Allah is above his throne in a manner befitting his majesty, and that he has the attributes of perfection. He does not resemble anything in the creation. He's alive and never dies, and he's worthy of worship alone. subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that knowledge of La ilaha illallah becomes firm and deeply rooted because of the evidence that he learns and studies time after time. Because of the evidence that he learns and studies time after time. So therefore, knowledge is understanding the guidance with the evidence. Understanding the guidance along with the evidence, and coupled with the evidence. So learning the evidence is of utmost importance, and learning the aspects of evidence likewise. So one, he must learn the guidance and learn the evidence for that guidance, and then likewise learn the aspect of how that evidence supports this position and is indicating this affair. Sometimes some people that claim to have knowledge, like the people of deviation, for example, they'll pretend to have knowledge and they'll decorate themselves with the guise of the people of knowledge, and they'll speak in the language of the people of knowledge, and they'll even sometimes use, no doubt, words from the Book of Allah or narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to establish positions or issues or rulings or judgments that are wrong and incorrect. They use the evidences in a manner contrary to the understanding of the Sahaba, or in the manner contrary to the methodology of the people of Hadith, and they deviate and go away. So a person who's not aware of the solid foundations, he'll be misled by them. So a person, he has to have knowledge of the guidance, and also coupled with the evidence, and also learn the principles of using the evidence as evidence, and how it indicates to a proper and sound ruling based upon the principles and the fundamentals that the scholars of Hadith were upon from the early days, or else they'll be like the Khawarij, using the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla to declare the Muslims disbelievers, or they'll be like the Sufiyyah, using the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla to claim that dancing and singing is legislated and lawful and a good path that leads to Allah and His pleasure. And this is all falsehood from two different extremes, and both parties, they'll go to the Quran and the Sunnah. They'll misuse evidences from the Book and the Sunnah to indicate falsehood. And the Book and the Sunnah is haq and does not indicate falsehood. So it's important to learn the guidance, with its evidence, and likewise learn and understand the aspect of how that evidence indicates this issue and this ruling. And this is by learning at the hands of the people who are qualified and reliable, العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقرير يستويان ما العلم نسبك أخلاف سفاهة بين الرسول وبين الرأي فلاني وبين رأي فلاني. So the head of knowledge is to know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and to understand what that means. Because Allah, He says, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. You must know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, man mata wa huwa ya'lamu annahu la ilaha illa Allah dakhala al-jannah, that whoever dies while he knows that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, then he'll enter paradise. So somebody who made that statement but he did not know what it means, it will not benefit him. Or someone who made that statement yet he thought it meant something that it didn't, he will not be able to apply it or fulfill the rights of that statement in the manner required. So at bare minimum, it will not be heavy in this scale. How could it be heavy in this scale whenever he misunderstood it in the first place? So how could he apply it in the proper manner if he did not know what it means really? He thought it meant something else. So those who seek to destroy Islam and those who seek to mislead the Muslims, they're not able to do that directly. They'll come from the inside by spreading doubts and misconceptions. And the head doubt and the greatest misconception is with regards to the interpretation of the kalima la ilaha illallah. If you take out the foundation, khalas, the religion's gone. The religion's gone. So the enemies of Islam, those who try to misguide the believers from inside, within, they'll spread these deviant ideologies and they'll misinterpret the shahada and la ilaha illallah. And many Muslims are affected by that, and this brings great weakness to their deen. Great weakness and deficiency to their deen, to their creed, to their faith, to the iman in their heart. The religion becomes watered down in a great manner and applied with great weakness. With great weakness and deficiency, even many of them who have fallen for these misinterpretations of the statement La ilaha illallah have apostated from Islam. have a positive from Islam, or they're doing actions and deeds that take them out of the religion while they're saying all day and all night, La ilaha illallah. So from the head of this, Barakallahu fikum, is to interpret the Shahada and La ilaha illallah to indicate Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. To indicate Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. This is the great plot. This is the great plan. I don't know if we understand this. This is the great plot and plan to mislead the believers, to cause the Muslims to deviate away from the straight path, to interpret the Shahada and La ilaha illallah to indicate Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. You understand that? To indicate Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. What is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah? Huh? La al-Rububiyyah. Huh? With Lordship. To sing Wa Allah alone with Lordship. Meaning to believe that Allah is the creator and the provider and the sustainer and disposer of the affairs of the universe. This is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. It's a major affair. No doubt about that. But that's not the interpretation of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah, and to believe in the oneness of Allah and His Lordship will not enter a person into paradise. He will not be a means to make his blood sacred, and he will not enter into the fold of Al-Islam with that creed alone. Understand that? He will not enter into the fold of Al-Islam with that creed alone. Somebody who believes that Allah, He is the creator, and He has no partners, that Allah, He is the owner, the one who has authority. Nothing happens in the creation except with His permission, with no partners. The one who believes that Allah, He is the one who gives life and gives death, with no partners. The one who believes that Allah, He alone sends the rain from the sky, and He's the one alone who causes the crops to grow. And whenever you're afraid, only He can help you and protect you. The one who believes this, the one who believes this belief here alone, no doubt is a requirement and is haqq. But this is not the interpretation of the Shahada, and this is not the creed that will enter one into the fold of Al-Islam. And this is not the means solely here to enter paradise. You understand that? This creed here, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, this requires and necessitates something. The one who realizes and believes that only Allah is the creator, only Allah is the provider, only Allah is the sustainer, that you yourself are created and provided by Allah alone, that you yourself are in need of water and only Allah can provide it for you, that you yourself, your eyesight is a provision and blessing and only Allah can grant that to you. And if your eyesight is taken from you, no one can return it to you except for Allah. And when if the tornado comes, or if the storm comes, or if you're in the plane, or if you're in the boat and it starts shaking and you're afraid for your life, no one can help you except for the one who created you, Allah. The one who realizes this, he must also understand that the only one who's worthy of worship is the one who created him and provided for him. And therefore, he must devote himself to Allah alone and give Allah his right of servitude and devotion and not direct any aspect of that to anyone from the creation whatsoever, because they're not worthy. Because they're not worthy. So this is the intent from the Shahada, to believe that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And this belief is established from understanding Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. But a person who believed in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah and then he called on graves besides Allah, or he called on saints besides Allah, he called on awliya besides Allah, he called on prophets besides Allah, he called on Prophet Muhammad besides Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will not save him or help him. It will not save him or help him. He will not enter into the fold of Al-Islam. Rather, this is an action of apostasy. Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Fatima, Ya. This is an action that will exclude a person, take him out of the fold of Al-Islam. Waliyadhu billah. So therefore, those people who wish to mislead and misguide the Muslims and to destroy Al-Islam, they'll misinterpret the Kalima. How do they do that? By claiming that the Shahada indicates the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So therefore, if you believe that the Shahada indicates only Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, it suffices you to believe that Allah, He is the creator alone. As for if you call on another besides Allah, like a grave, or you call on a prophet, or you make tawassul, so they claim, making dua, save me, help me, provide for me, and the likes like this. And you check them on that. You say, no, I say la ilaha illallah. But you say, what do you mean you say that? I said, I'm not believing that he's a creator. I don't believe that he's the provider. I don't believe that he's a sustainer. I'm just taking him as an intercessor to draw me close to Allah. And they do this how? by claiming that the shahada, it means la khaliqa illallah, la khaliqa illallah, huh? La khaliqa, there's no creator except for Allah. Meaning they interpret the shahada to indicate tawhid al-rububiyyah and they neglect tawhid al-uluhiyyah, which is precisely the reason why the prophets and messengers fell out with their people. Where the dispute occurred was here. The dispute occurred here. It didn't occur with regards to tawhid al-rububiyyah. The disputes with the prophets and messengers, the dispute between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his family members, his tribesmen, Quraysh, and the rest of the Arab, was not about tawhid al-rububiyyah. Because they believe in that. That's from the deen. That's from millat Abdul Muttalib. Millat Abdul Muttalib is to believe in tawhid al-rububiyyah. Abdul Muttalib, he believed in tawhid al-rububiyyah. Abu Jahl, he believed in tawhid al-rububiyyah. They have no problem with that. Abu Lahab, he believed in tawhid al-rububiyyah. Even the munafiqun, they believe in tawhid al-rububiyyah. But this did not enter them into the fold of Al-Islam. And their understanding of the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and their understanding of tawhid al-rububiyyah, and what they were upon, this is what prohibited them or kept them from stating La ilaha illallah, because they know that means for them to leave off the devotion and worship of anything besides Allah, and they didn't want to do that. أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَ إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Did he make all, he's trying to make all the gods one god? Man, this is something strange. This is something strange. Allah, he mentioned to his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَهُمْ لَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ. If you ask them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean those people that are fighting you, if you ask them who created them, they will say Allah. What's that? توحيد الربوبية. ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولون الله. And if you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, indeed they're going to say Allah. Indeed they're going to say Allah. So they believe in توحيد الربوبية. Yet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم fought them. Fought them and they fought him. And they exiled him from his home. And the story is well known. All of this was with people who believed in توحيد الربوبية. So why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fighting them? Why did they not stake the shahada and they believe in tawhid al-rububiyyah? This is not what the dispute was about. This is not what the call was about. Quraysh, they were so fed up. They were so fed up. They're like, we'll make you a king. We'll make you a king. We'll make you a leader. We'll let you marry any one of our daughters. Just leave that alone. Worship. Even they came, this month you worship your God and next month we worship our God. Or just don't say nothing about our gods. Just don't say nothing about our gods. Just stop talking bad about our gods. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not go for that. He did not go for that. He called to the shahada and la ilaha illallah. And that means that you do not worship anyone except for Allah, that no one has the right to be worshipped except for Allah, that worshiping anyone besides Allah is falsehood. And those things are not worthy of worship. Allah azza wa jalla, he says in his book, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْكَبِيرُ. That is because Allah, He is the truth. And that all those whom they call on besides Allah is falsehood. And that Allah, He is the most high and the most great. And that Allah, He is the most high and the most great. So Allah, He is the truth. And those whom they call on besides Him, in supplication and devotion, are falsehood. Understand that? So who is truth? Calling on who is truth? Lahu da'watu al-haq. Allah, He has the true call. Allah, He has the true ibadah. Allah, He has the true worship. Worshipping Allah is worshipping haq, is worshipping truth. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. Because Allah, He is the truth. That is because Allah, He is the truth. وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. And that what they call on besides Him, they call on the graves, they call on Lat, they call on Uzza, they call on Manat, they call on this one, they call on that one, they call on Hubal, they call on Antijani, they call on Jainani, they call on Rifa'i, they call on this one, they call on that one, they call even on the prophets and messengers, they call on Isa, they call on Jibreel, they call on angels, even so, they call on Jinn. That's all falsehood. That's all falsehood, not worthy of worship. Calling on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is falsehood and not worthy. He's not worthy of worship. And not worthy of worship. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَإِنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْعَلِيُّ Al-Kabir, because Allah, He's the most high. He's the most high. He's the most great. Allahu Akbar, there's nothing greater than Allah. Allah, He's the creator. Everything is under Him and below Him. Everything is provided for Him and sustained by Him. Everything is brought into existence by Him, and everything is given and shaped and formed by Him. He alone is alive and never dies. Allah, He's the most high. Nothing is higher than Him. Allah, He's the most great. There's nothing greater than Him. You must worship Allah alone. Worshiping Allah alone is truth. And worshiping the creation is falsehood. Allah, He's the creator. Worshiping the creator is truth. Worshiping the creation is falsehood. Worshiping the creation is worshiping something like you, something that's in need, something that's a slave, something that's under the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. It brings no benefit and no good. So therefore, the meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the proper interpretation, not La khaliqa illallah. La khaliqa illallah, there's no creator except for Allah. This is not right. This is not the interpretation of the Shahada La ilaha illallah. The one who believes this alone, one who believes this alone, it does not fulfill the rights of al-uluhiyya. He does not establish the tawhid al-uluhiyya. He does not establish the ubudiyya for Allah alone. This will not enter him into the fold of Islam. And this will not bring him into the paradise and the pleasure of Allah. Understand that there's a group of people that go around, they're famous for da'wah, calling to Allah. Calling to Allah, they call to Allah. They go out for days at a time. And they walk around the neighborhood, calling the Muslims, knock on your door, tack, 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 tack. Come to the masjid. Come to the masjid. And we're going to talk about salah. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. Sounds good, right? Sounds good, right? Come go to the stores and get the Muslims who are busy with the dunya and bring them to the masjid. And sounds good, right? Sounds good, right? Someone even said, come on, let's go out just for a few days, 3 days. Then others, whenever they get you real big, come on, 40 days. Come on, just do it. I'm going to take your name and I'm going to check up on you, make sure you don't back out on me like this. They do stuff like this. Calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. You know what the fundamental creed there? What they say they call to? They have like points, maybe seven of them, I think. From the first of them is that they call to the kalima. Shahada la ilaha illallah. You know that? That's good, right? Calling to the kalima. Right? Sounds good, right? What's the interpretation of that kalima? If you ask this party, if you ask this group to interpret the kalima for you, la ilaha illallah, they're going to say, la khaliqa illallah. La khaliqa illallah. This is something, alhamdulillah, I learned when I studied in the Medina with the scholars. And this is something that I witnessed and heard with my own ears in these lands. You understand that? They say, La khaliqa illallah. So whenever you study Kitab al-Tawheed, for example, or Fath al-Majid, the explanation of that, you'll find the chapters with regards to the interpretation. Tafsir la ilaha illallah, there's a chapter. Tafsir la ilaha illallah, the interpretation of la ilaha illallah. And then whenever you study this in detail, in order to understand the proper interpretation, you'll study those who made misinterpretations. And from those misinterpretations, is the interpretation of La ilaha illallah be La khaliqa illallah. And then there are individual groups who are known for this interpretation. From them, Jama'at al-Tabligh, the one that we're talking about. From them, Jama'at al-Tabligh, the one that we're talking about. So this is something that we learn in school. This is something that we learn with the people of knowledge, that Jama'at al-Tabligh, they interpret the kalima La ilaha illallah to be La khaliqa illallah. Right? So this is something that you study. This is something that you study. And this is something that is apparently known to the extent that the people of knowledge, they'll write this in their works and they'll mention this in their classes. And they'll identify this grave error of this deviant group. So it's one thing to read about it in a book and to hear about it in a lesson. And it's another whenever that man from that group stands up in front of you and he says it himself. You understand that? So this is one of the first semester in the university, we study the first two semesters, we study Kitab and Tawheed, Fath al-Majid. So you take the first half up to Sihr in the first semester, and after sentence from Sihr to the end of the book in the second semester. So in the first semester, we study this affair, and we took these different interpretations. And we learned that from those who misinterpret the Shahada and La ilaha illallah, Jama'at al-Tabligh, and they say, La khaliqa illallah. It means like Khalifa Allah. And then this was in school. And then when I come back home to Oklahoma and I'm sitting in the masjid in my hometown, all of a sudden after the prayer, the tablighi stands up and he's ready to start talking. I said to myself, let me see what this man is gonna say. I just wanna see what I wanna see. I wanna see what he's gonna say. I wanna see what he's talking about. And then inshallah, I'm gonna speak with him. He stood up and he gave his kalima and he said that the shahada, we call it the kalima la ilaha illallah, and it means la khalifa illallah. I said, subhanallah, the scholars told me true. So whenever you hear it from their mouth yourself, after you learn it from the people of knowledge that they say that, it's very clear. This is their way. This is what they call to. So whenever we warn from Jama'at al-Tabligh, this is the reason why. And there are many other problems that they have too, but nothing is greater than this. This is the most severe affair. So if you tell somebody Jama'at al-Tabligh is deviant, and they say, how? What is their deviation? You tell them that they misinterpret the kalima, shahada la ilaha illallah. They interpret that. They interpreted that to mean tawhid al-rububiyyah. Oh, this is a grave error. This is how grave worship comes into Islam. This is how grave worship is introduced into the Muslims, and they believe that they're Muslims and they make the shahada la ilaha. Yet they worship graves. That's how it's entered, by interpreting the shahada la ilaha illallah to be tawhid al-rububiyyah. You understand this? How do Muslims start worshipping graves? From the means of doing that is to misinterpret the statement la ilaha illallah. Huh? Well, because they believe, oh, I believe Allah is the creator. I don't believe the wali is the creator. No, the wali just gonna, no, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. No, I don't believe he's the creator. This is from their shubuhat. We took it in Kashf al-Shubuhat in more detail for those who want to review that. But we just want to understand how dangerous this is. So for somebody to say, okay, whatever problems do they have? Who cares whatever problems they have? This is enough. They misinterpret the shahada and la ilaha illallah. They don't even know what the foundation of the religion means. Rather, they interpret it in a manner that allows grave worshippers to worship graves and for people to call on saints. And this is from the means of establishing their shubha and their doubt to interpret the religion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to be tawhid rububiyyah. But that's not the reality. The reality is about worship. The reality is about worship. It's about worship. If you believe in tawhid rububiyyah, that belief will not help you until you fulfill what that requires and necessitates, and that is to make all the worship, devotion, servitude, love, hope, and fear, trust and reliance and dua for Allah alone. For Allah alone. That's tawheed. That's the tawheed in nafi. That's the beneficial tawheed. That's the tawheed that will enter you into the paradise. That's the means to draw near to Allah. That's the means to save your soul. You understand that? So this is of utmost importance to have knowledge with evidence and proof the proper meaning of la ilaha illallah. To know that la ilaha illallah does not mean la khaliqa illallah. If la ilaha illallah meant la khaliqa illallah, then Abu Jahl would not be fighting. He already believed that. Abu Lahab wouldn't have a problem. They already believe that. There's no issue. There's no issue. But if we look into the seerah, there was an issue. Whether there are great disputes, arguments, even fighting, murders, even assassination attempts against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether they went to war with him, chipped his tooth sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and split his head, his noble head sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he told them to believe there's no creator except for Allah. That's not why they did that to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did that because he told them to worship Allah alone. To say la ilaha illallah, to stop worshiping idols, do not call on graves, do not worship anything besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, do not take intercessors with Allah in worship and devotion, do not slaughter for anyone but Allah, do not take oaths in the name of anyone but Allah, do not swear by anyone but Allah, do not worship anyone but Allah, make your obedience and your servitude and devotion for Allah alone, leave off them idols and those false gods. That's why they fought him. That's why they fought him. They understood the meaning of what it required. And that's why they refused to say it, because they had knowledge that even some of the Muslims today, they don't have. So how blameworthy and pathetic is someone who ascribes to Islam, yet Abu Jahl has more knowledge and a greater understanding of La ilaha illallah than him. There are people alive today walking on the earth making hajj and everything. Making hajj and everything. Understand that? They pray, of course they pray. They leave their homeland, they save up money, and they travel all the way to Mecca, and they do all of these rites along with the rest of the deen of Islam. Yet Abu Jahl is more knowledgeable and has a more comprehensive understanding of the Shahada and La ilaha illallah than they do. That's why he makes hajj, calling on others besides Allah. He visited the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would call on the Prophet besides Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You understand that? Because of misinterpreting this, the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. How do they misinterpret it? The key manner is by sufficing with Tawheedul Rububiyyah. How do you do that? You say, La ilaha illallah means La khaliqa illallah, La raziqa illallah, La mudabbir lil umuri illallah. Like this. That's what they do. There's no creator except for Allah. There's no provider or sustainer except for Allah. No one disposes the affairs of the creation except for Allah. And we say, that's true. But that's not the meaning of the Shahada. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about whether this is true or not is true. No, that's true. Yes, we believe in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Whether Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is the gateway to Uluhiyyah. And that's the problem. They see the gate. They see that they enter the door, but they don't go through the gate. They see it, but they don't go. They stop there. Right? Once you see that Allah, He is the creator. There's no creator except for Allah. There's no provider or sustainer except for Allah. Then you must realize then, if that's the case, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Right? If Allah, He's the one who created you from sperm in the womb of a woman, then there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. You understand that? Nobody else can do that. Only Allah. Only Allah created you. Only Allah provided for you. Only Allah, He gave you a shape. Only Allah, He grants you hearing. This is from Allah. Therefore, only Allah is worthy of worship. Stop worshiping idols. Stop worshiping graves. Stop worshiping prophets. Stop worshiping angels. This is, you must worship Allah alone. You must call on Allah alone. You must fear and revere Allah alone. You must love Allah absolutely. You understand? This is the Shahada and La ilaha illallah. So the proper meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. And this is established in a number of manners. Number one, linguistically. The word ilah, it means ma'lu. The word ilah means ma'lu. Al-ilah, it means the God, the true God. Al-ilah, the true God. And the verb is alaha. Alaha ya'lahu. And that verb is a synonym with abada ya'budu. Understand that? You know what synonyms are? Synonym is words that have similar or the same meaning. So the verb alaha, it means abada. Ya'lahu. So the alih is the abid. Wadih. So in the Arabic language, we have scales. So alaha ya'lahu means abada ya'budu. Alaha ya'lahu ilahatan. Abada ya'budu ibadatan. So al-ilaha or ta'alluh is ibadah. It's ibadah. You understand that? These words, they have a similar meaning. Both of them mean devotion with love and servitude. Devotion with love and servitude. That's the fundamental meaning. Humble devotion with love and servitude. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. Humble devotion with love and servitude. This is also at-ta'allu, al-ilaha. Yani these words, they have a similar meaning. So the abid, which means the worshiper, is the alih from the other verb. The alih is the abid from alaha alih. Alihun, abidun. This means worshiper, the one who performs the action of worship. He's doing the verb of alaha, or he's doing the verb of abida. So, the ma'bud from abada means ma'bud, it means ma'lu, means ma'lu. So the ma'bud is something that's worshipped. So ma'lu is something that's worshipped. Wadih? So abid means adih, and ma'bud means ma'lu. This is very clear for those who understand the Arabic language. It's very clear for those who understand the Arabic. If you go back to the earliest dictionaries, like by Ibn Faris, rahimahullah, he died in 300 or before that, sometime in the 300s, or possibly, I think it's in 300 or something. And it's a very old classical dictionary. If you go to the verb adaha, you'll find what I'm talking about. And this is not something that is unknown, or that this is from the Arabic language, that the word adaha means abada, linguistically. So ma'bud, it means ma'lu. So ma'bud is the one that's worshipped, an object of worship. The one that's worshipped is called ma'bud. The one that is worshipped is called ma'bud. So the ma'lu is the one that's worshipped. Understand? So now we're telling you that ilah, it means ma'lu. That's because the word ilah, again, is from alaha, which is on the scale of fa'ala. So ilah is on the scale of fi'al, right? Like kitab. Kitab, fi'al, right? What's kitab mean? Maktub, something that's written. Kitab means maktub, something that's written. Ghiras, what is that from? Gharasa, to plant something. So ghiras is something that's planted. And ghiras, yani, magrus. So the word ghiras, it means magrus. Wadih? Bisat. Bisat, something that's spread out. So bisat, the meaning of bisat is mabsult. Wadih? So there are many words in the Arabic language that come on the scale of fi'al. And the understanding or the intended meaning of that scale is maf'ul. Kitab, maktub. Fi'al, maf'ul. Ghiras, maghrus. Bisat, mabsut. These are just a few examples. There are many of them. Where the scale fi'al in the Arabic language is used for the meaning of maf'ul. Wadih? So therefore, the ilah, it means ma'lu. Ilah, it means ma'lu. Ilah is on the scale of fi'al, like kitab is on the scale of fi'al, like ghiras is on the scale of fi'al, and bisat is on the scale of fi'al. But the meaning of that scale here is maf'ul. So kitab means maktub, and ghiras means maghrus, and bisat means mabsut, and ilah means ma'lu. And ma'lu is a synonym to ma'bud. Wadih, this is something that's agreed upon in the Arabic language, linguistically. Look in the reliable classical dictionaries. By the way, the Arabic language has a chain. And those reliable classical dictionaries, they're transmitted to us by chain. And those early scholars, they learned and sat with the Arab and their different tribes, learning their poetry and their language and their dialects, and they recorded it. And it was transmitted in this manner with chains back to the different tribes. This is the lahja of Hudayl. This is the lahja of Al-Hijaz. This is the lahja of Uqayl. This is the lahja like this. This is their dialect. And this way, this is all transmitting to us. So what we're talking about is not something new linguistically. So from this linguistic understanding, we go back to studying the legislative proper intended meaning of La ilaha illallah. So we say La ilaha illallah, it means La ma'bud bihaqqin illallah. So the interpretation of ilah is ma'bud. This is a must. The interpretation of ilah is not khaliq. Ilah is on the scale of what? Fi'al, which means maf'ul. Wadih? So therefore, it's ma'lu, ilah ma'lu. That khaliq is on the scale of fa'il. There's a difference between fa'il and maf'ul, right? So the intended here is not fa'il, the intended is maf'ul. So to say la khaliqa is even completely wrong linguistically. Even completely wrong linguistically. It's not talking about Allah doing something. It's not about Allah being worthy of worship. We're going to do to Him. We're going to worship Him. What we do with our actions towards Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ma'luha bihaqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqin illallah. So the ma'lu', so the ilah is the ma'bud. This is number one. Linguistically, it's established, it's very clear. Anyone with any fundamental understanding of the Arabic language would agree with you, and only a fool would deny that. Only a fool or a stubborn, rebellious, ignorant, deviant person would deny that. Would deny that. So then whenever we say La ilaha, we're looking for the khabr. Illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha mada. La ilaha mawjood. Illallah. Is that correct? No, that's not correct. There's no God in existence except for Allah. Is that the intended meaning? No, that's not the intended meaning. Why? Because reality clarifies otherwise. There are many gods in existence besides Allah. We see that. And likewise, the legislation clarifies that as well. أَفَرَأَيْتَمُ اللَّاتَ وَالْعُزَّى وَمَنَاةَ الثَّالِثَةَ الْأُخْرَى وَلَا تَذْرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ وَلَا تَذْرُنَّ وَدًّا وَلَا سُوَاعًا وَلَا يُغُوثَ وَيَعُوقَ وَنَسْرًا. Allah here from the number of gods by name in his book. So the existence of other gods is established. There are other gods that exist besides Allah. Any other? مَعْبُودَات. Because the ilah or the aliha is the ma'bud, the ma'budat. So there are other things that are worshipped besides Allah in existence. We see them. We see them even to this day. So to interpret la ilaha illallah, la ilaha, or la ma'buda, mawjudun illallah, there's no God worship besides Allah. No, that's not true. There are many gods worshipped besides Allah, but they are worshipped in falsehood. They're worshipped in falsehood and they're not worthy of worship. They're not worthy of worship. So what is the proper interpretation? We go back to the verse that we discussed before. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ. That's because Allah is the truth. Okay, therefore the khabar here is حق. لَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَقِّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ بِحَقِّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقِّ وَأَنَّمَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلِ. So therefore, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ حَقِّ لَا مَعْبُودَ حَقِّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the meaning. You understand that? This is the meaning. There's no true God worthy of worship except for Allah. This is the meaning. This is the meaning. And this is Tawheed. And Tawheed is established in one way. And that is with negation and affirmation. And that is with negation and affirmation. There must be negation and affirmation. Negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah, in every manner and every aspect, and affirming the right of worship for Allah alone with no partners. This is Tawheed. To sing Allah alone for worship. Ifradullahi bil-ibadah. Kayfa tufrid Allah bil-ibadah? How do you sing Allah alone for worship? To worship Him alone and nothing else. You understand that? To worship Him alone and nothing else whatsoever. So you must not worship anything else whatsoever in any manner at all. And worship Allah alone. Meaning there must be negation and affirmation. You must believe that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship, no matter what it is. And you must believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا. That's the meaning of the verse. And whoever disbelieves in the ta'ud, disbelieves in the false idols and deities that are worshipped besides Allah, and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the strongest handhold that will never fail him, the true meaning of La ilaha illallah. So to believe that anything that's worshipped besides Allah is falsehood, this is al-kufru bil-ta'ud. This is disbelieving in the ta'ud. To disbelieve in the ta'ud is to believe that the ta'ud or anything besides Allah is not worthy of worship. What imanu billah, and to believe in Allah, is to believe that Allah alone is worthy of worship. So al-kufr bil-ta'ud, this is negation. What imanu billah, this is affirmation. You believe that everything that's worshipped besides Allah is not worthy of worship. You negate that right from those things, absolutely. And you affirm that right for Allah alone. And this is the meaning of the shahada and la ilaha illallah. And this is why Abu Jahl fought the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Abu Lahab fought the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why he was exiled from his home. And this is why Hamza was killed. And this is why radiallahu anhu and the wars and the battles and the dispute was about this affair here. About worshipping Allah alone. So the understanding of the shahada and la ilaha illallah is established on negation and affirmation. It's an encompassing negation negating the right of worship from everything besides Allah in every manner and every aspect, and affirming that right of worship for Allah alone. Look at this in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah alone and do not associate any partners with Him whatsoever. Worship Allah alone, this is affirmation. And do not associate any partners with Allah whatsoever, this is negation. Worshipping Allah alone, وَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ, this is inclusive, specific affirmation. وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Do not associate any partners with Him. This is an encompassing negation. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ. And your Lord has decreed, legislated, and ordained that you should not worship anything except for Him. These verses here, they clarify the intended meaning of La ilaha illallah, that you should not worship anything except for Allah. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That you should not worship anything. This is La ilaha illallah, illallah. We understand that. So these verses here and many other verses like this clarify the intended meaning of La ilaha illallah. This is the interpretation. This is the interpretation of La ilaha illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. It's about worship. It's about servitude. It's about devotion. It's about love. It's about love and surrender and submission and obedience. It's about hope. It's about trust. It's about reliance. It's about dua. It's about worship, being for Allah alone and no one else. العلم معرفة الهدى بدليله ما ذاك والتقليد يستويان. ما العلم نسبك خلاف السفاهة بين الرسول وبين الرأي فلاني. We have to have knowledge of this. We have to have certainty with regards to this. We have to know that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah in order to devote ourselves truly and sincerely and wholeheartedly to Allah, and to attach our hearts to Allah, and to fear and revere Allah, and to love and hope in Allah, and to trust and rely upon Allah and not the creation. And not the creation. And not the creation. We don't put our faith or trust in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, we put our faith and trust in Allah, and we follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't rely upon him, or we don't call on him, we don't worship him, we don't slaughter for him, we don't make salat for him, rather we follow him. And he is the master, he's the leader of the people of Tawheed. He's the leader of devotion and servitude. Kullu Abdullahi wa Rasul, say the slave of Allah and his messenger. He's the leader of servitude and devotion and sincere worship and obedience and humble love and submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. Abdun fala yu'bad wa rasulun fala yukadhib. He is a slave himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not worthy of worship, but he's a messenger. He must not be belied or denied. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.